Thank you, Jim. Good morning, everybody. So, the kiddos kind of preached the sermon already, so go let your light shine, and you will have heard the sermon this morning. So, I've been encouraged to be here today. Have you? Amen? Just been encouraged to be among God's people. I'm always encouraged whenever I come together with God's people. And you know what? I'm encouraged because, this is going to sound strange, but I'm encouraged because we're not a perfect church. I'm encouraged by that. And you know why? Because if this were a perfect church, I couldn't be here, number one. And secondly, I'm encouraged because we're not a perfect church, because that means that we're honest about the fact that we're not there yet. We're in process. We've not arrived. And we are dependent upon God's grace. Amen? We're dependent on God's grace for who we are. It is by God's grace that we are who we are individually and as a church. And so we depend upon Him. And we don't always get it right. We don't have it all figured out. We don't always do it right. But we are a people that are dedicated to Christ. And that's what we're trying to do. We're striving to be in surrender to who He is. And part of the fact that you will see clearly that we're not a perfect church and that I'm not a perfect preacher is that if you picked up one of the sermon handouts this morning and you looked at it carefully, you'll notice it has the wrong title. It has last week's sermon title on there, so you want to make a correction about that. Today's sermon is not called Express Yourself. That was last week, and if you didn't hear that, you can go on our website and you can listen to it. But today's sermon is called Brightest in the Dark. That is the title of today's sermon. This is a brand new sermon series. We're starting today, so if you're here for the first time, you've come at a great time because we're starting a brand new series that will be happening basically every other week. It'll happen when small groups are not meeting. This will be the alternative sermon series to the small group series, and this is about a four-part sermon series called Light in the Darkness, and you're going to see why I call it that in just a minute. Light in the Darkness. And, you know, when things are really dark, we have the opportunity to shine the brightest. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So, I think you'll understand why I want to talk about this, because if you have any kind of awareness at all about what's happening in our world, you know that there have been some events that have happened of late in our country and in our culture that demonstrate that hate and violence is alive and well in the hearts of the people of this world. I don't have to run down all the current event list for you to know that's true. But we see it with events recently in the last month here at the homeland. We see it with tension with nations abroad. That hate is alive and well. Now, that's the reality. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, what are we going to do about it? How should we as Christians respond to a world that is full of hate and violence? Now, I'll tell you, I know the way that a lot of times we do respond. We respond with the same kind of behavior. So we see someone who's very aggressive about an ideology or a belief, and they're very outspoken about it in the media or on social media. And oftentimes the way we respond as Christians is we respond with the opposite viewpoint, with just as much anger, aggression, and vitriol as the person who has espoused the belief or the behavior. And I just think there's a better way than that. And I think that Jesus would share with us there's a better way than that. So the question is, how are you and I want you to make this lesson very personal this morning for us individually about how we respond to the hate and violence we see in our world. Now, I'll tell you one way that I saw somebody respond to it recently. On the screen here are my three nieces. This is Aniston, Adlin, and Ava Gray. And these are my three nieces, and their mother, my sister-in-law is homeschooling them. And shortly after the events of the mass shooting that happened out west, they got up the next morning, and being the kind of Christian woman that my sister-in-law is, she said, "You know what? The greatest lesson we could learn today in school is how do we respond to the kind of things we see in our world." And so they forewent the lesson plan, and they said, and she said to her girls, she said, "Today we're going to go spread some love. That's the way we're going to respond to what we see in our world." And so they went and they bought a bunch of flowers. And before they left home, they printed off a bunch of coloring sheets, and they colored coloring sheets. The one that she's holding up here says the greatest of these is love. And they went to Walmart, and they went to Kroger, and they went up to random strangers, and they said, "We're trying to spread some love today," and they gave flowers and coloring sheets to people they met along the way. She posted about it on Facebook with the hashtag #CastOutDarknessWithLight. And I was so moved by that, and I was like, man, that is the way we should be responding to the hate and violence of our world, is by doing something that is completely the opposite, sharing kindness and love and showing the world a better way, letting light shine in the darkness. Amen. Now, it was really interesting to hear the stories of the people that they encountered. Some people just were very confused by it and like, oh, okay, and they took it and left. Other people, one individual that they gave flowers to and a coloring sheet to, the lady, as soon as she heard them say that, just completely melted in tears. Another lady received the gift, she left, and then came back and found them later and gave each one of them a dollar. Just trying to share love back, because it can be contagious. We can push back the darkness, Christians, by being people of light. So I want to challenge you, I want to challenge me, that when we see this kind of behavior in our world, let us not act the same way. Let us show the world a higher road, a different response. Let's share love and be a mission. Be on mission to do that. And push back the darkness with the light. That's what Jesus would tell us to do. I'm going to share with you a passage this morning from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And it's the most well-known sermon that has ever been preached. And you have heard lots of sermons on it. You probably have it memorized. And that's a good thing. But at the same time, sometimes we hear the words of Jesus so frequently that they go in one ear and out the other, and we don't let the power of what he is saying really sink in. So, I'm going to do something that I ordinarily don't do, and I'm going to share with you Jesus' passage of what he says, the way we should respond to the world, from a paraphrase translation called The Message. Okay, and that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. Now listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. "You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy." And then Jesus says this, "I'm challenging that." Jesus here is challenging the culturally accepted way, the intuitive way, the natural way that you and I are normally inclined to respond whenever we see bad behavior in our world. We tend to get close to people that are like us. We tend to show kindness and love toward people that we have things in common with. And we tend to pull away from, isolate ourselves from, or even treat poorly people that are vastly different than us. Jesus says, "I'm challenging the way you would normally respond. If you're going to follow me, you're going to live intentionally and do things in a dramatically different way than what you would be normally inclined to do. That is the Christ calling of life. I'm challenging that, he says. Now, here's what he says. I'm telling you to love your enemies. And I love the way that Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, gives the words of Jesus here. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. Let that sink in. How are we responding as Christ believers in our current world? Are we letting the darkness and the hate and the vitriol and the violence that we see going on around us, are we allowing it to bring out the worst in Christians? Or are we listening to Jesus and allowing the behavior of the enemies bring out the best in us? Jesus says, let it bring out the best in you. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. Now notice here that Jesus is indicating that there is a different response, a different way of living that is different than the way you and I would normally respond. Because in our fallen nature, in our sin-cursed tendency, we would respond in kind, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You blacken my eye, I'll blacken both of yours. And Jesus says, though, if you're following me and you have been recreated, born again, created to be in God's image, you're going to respond differently. You're going to respond first with the energy of prayer. You're going to act in such a way that is in alignment with your true self. If you're really a Christian, you have a different self. There's a difference to you. This is what God does. He gives His best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. God gives His good, His best, to all. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. If you just simply greet people that greet you, or you're nice to people that are nice to you, then what do you think you're doing in the world? Everybody does that. That's no different. If you're going to be different and be a light in the darkness, you have to respond in a different kind of way. In a word, he says, what I'm saying is this: grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. Now, I will admit to you, that is one man's summing it up in his own words, what Jesus says in the text. But I think he does a pretty good job bringing it home to us. It's like a commentary on the text, and he brings it home to us of the way that we should respond to the darkness of our world. Again, the emphasis that he places here in his paraphrase is that our current culture should bring out the best in Christians. The darker the world gets, the brighter we should shine. I shared this quote some weeks ago in a sermon, and I couldn't help but bring it back into this one, particularly in light of a lot of the racial stress, the interpersonal stress that is happening in our country today. I love the words of Martin Luther King Jr. when he said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that." And I think what Dr. King gets at here is really at the heart of what Jesus is saying to us in his sermon. That if you're going to make a difference in this world and push back the darkness, you cannot fight fire with fire. You cannot fight hate with more hate. The only way to drive out the darkness is to be different and to shine light. And so Jesus says, love your enemy. Now, here's the curious thing about that. In our country, in our culture, particularly in the South today, we very much elevate in our subculture of the southeastern part of the United States this idea of trying to be very polite. And that's a good thing. We teach our kids to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and to hold the door for people. And we teach people to be polite. And that's good. But in our politeness, most of us would read this passage that I think in the South, and we would say, Jesus says, love your enemy. And most of us are like, well, I don't have any enemies. Jesus admits here, let's be real. All of us have enemies. We do. It's kind of like the story that I heard one time about a preacher was preaching a sermon on this passage, and he asked the audience, which I won't do to you this morning. He asked the audience, he says, raise your hand. Jesus says, love your enemy. Raise your hand if you have 10 enemies. And there were a few people that raised their hands. Raise your hand now if you have 5 enemies. And a few people raised their hands. Raise your hand if you have 2 enemies. And a lot more people raised their hands. And then he asked the question, raise your hand if you don't have any enemies at all. And way back in the back, there was an older gentleman who slowly raised his hand. So the preacher called on him. He said, brother, come up here and visit with us. So he walked up and he put the microphone to the man's face. He says, how old are you, sir? He says, I'm 98 years old. And the preacher said, it's so impressive that you have gotten to a place in your spiritual walk with Christ. You're mature enough now that you can say you don't have any enemies. What is your secret to having no enemies? And he gave the man the microphone and he said, all those jerks are dead. Let's be honest. Unless you live to a considerably old age, and it probably even then, if you're honest, all of us have enemies. Jesus admits this, and we should admit it too. So what does it mean? So, okay, you're saying I have an enemy. What do you mean? What do you mean by enemy? What does Jesus mean by our enemies? Well, he means everything from severe, hostile people that are opposed to you to people that just give you a minor snub. Let me show you. In verse 44, if you're reading from your translation, it'll say, you know, we should love those that persecute us. People that persecute, you know, probably better now than ever before in the current world that we live in, that there are plenty of people, and it's not just abroad, they're right here at home, that are actively hostile toward, opposed to, and are trying to persecute the Christian's way of life. That is a reality. And Jesus identifies the persecutors, those that are hostile to his teachings, as being our enemies. Now, I know in our politically correct culture, that sounds a bit jarring. We don't want to identify anybody as our enemy, but Jesus does. He says these are the enemies of Christ, of the Christian. Now, all the way on the other side, you've got people that just would give you a minor snub. In verse 45 and in verses 46 through 47, he talks about those that that don't love you or those that are not your brother. In other words, here are people that don't share the same values that you share. It's not that they're like actively persecuting you, but they just don't simply share the same values that you share. And so they're not in alignment with who you are. There's a sense in which they are opposed to your way of life, although maybe not actively, you know, persecuting. They're not in alignment with your way of life. Or maybe even people that just simply don't love you. There are some people that don't like you, that don't like me. Jesus says everybody's got enemies. From severe persecution to minor snubs, everybody in this room has an enemy. Now the question is, what are you going to do about it? Jesus says, love your enemies. Well, what does it mean to love? We really get love confused in our culture because we talk about loving, you know, it's like I go down here to McAllister's and I love that new salad they have. Or we say, you know, I love the car that I drive. Or we say, I love my wife or I love my husband. We use love in so many different ways that we don't even really kind of understand it, I think, in our country, in our culture too much. What Jesus is getting at here when he says love your enemies is he's not saying necessarily how you feel about people. It's not here primarily emotional, although emotions are often involved. It's not primarily emotional. It is more a decision of the will. Jesus is saying you should make a decision. Here's the way you cast out the darkness, by being light in your world, by loving, practicing love toward your enemies. From people that are severely persecuting and hostile toward the Christian way of life, or to people that just won't speak to you and don't like you, that snub you. All the way everywhere in between, from one extreme to the other, here's what you as a Christian do to be different in your world. Actively seek the good of those that are opposed to you. Make a decision to seek their good. Now, how do you do that? Jesus is specific about what loving your enemies looks like. He gives three examples, very practical. First of all, he says, loving those that are opposed to you, your enemies, it starts with just a decision to greet them. It's as simple as that, to just greet them. In verse number 47, he says, you know, what good do you think you've done if you greet those that love you? To love your enemy, you've got to greet those even that don't like you. Now, that might seem like a simple thing, but that is hard for a lot of us to do. If we know that somebody doesn't like us, or somebody's got something against us, or somebody is opposed to us, it is so easy to just walk right past them and not acknowledge. Don't make eye contact. You know, walk to the other side. I'm going to make sure, oh, I see them in the hall. I'm going to go out the other door. Very practically, if you're going to be a person that is following the Christ way of life and pushing back the darkness with the light, it starts right here. Choosing to do different than what you would ordinarily do. And with somebody that is your enemy, you choose to greet them warmly anyway. Greet them. It's a very practical thing to do. And that's where it starts. Let me just ask you, when you leave here today, who will you greet? Will you greet people that you like only? Will you greet people that you have something in common with only? Will you greet only your friends? Jesus says even the pagans do that. You want to choose my way of life? Then find somebody today that is different than you. Somebody maybe that you know that there's a little bit of a tension in your relationship, and choose the high road and greet them anyway. You know, we sing songs about it. You've heard people talk about this and it seems so trite, but it's true. Just smiling at people that you come in contact with can make a tremendous difference in the world. You don't know the difference it can make. Acknowledge people. Even people that you know don't like you, people that are enemies to the Christian walk, make eye contact and have a pleasant disposition and give a greeting. That's where it starts. Secondly, verse 45, practically meet their needs. So you see somebody that has a need, a physical need, that's your enemy. How do you love them? By seeing that you meet that need. The best illustration that I know of this is some of you have watched the videos and know about the I Am Second movement. Many people have worn the bracelets about being second. If you don't know anything about that, it was a big movement. It still pretty well has some traction to it. It's this idea that Jesus says, you know, you need to put others before yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so it was a movement among many Christ followers to say, let me remind myself by wearing a bracelet and being a part of this intentional decision to be aware of people around me and choose the good of others around me. And they filmed several videos, and one of those videos that made the biggest impact on me, and I don't know what you think about him, and that's not the point, but there was a video that Phil Robertson did from Duck Dynasty fame. And he told this story. I don't know what you think about Phil Robertson, but I like the story he told because I think it illustrates this so well. He said that when he first became a Christian, he was trying to survive in the bayous of Louisiana by fishing for a living. So he's in his boat out in these swamp waters putting out nets to catch fish. And the only way he was surviving and feeding his family was by the fish that he caught. And he said one day, he said, I pull up to check one of my traps for fish, and there's another boat there, and they're starting to pull my line up. Somebody's getting ready to steal his fish. He said, so I pulled up next to him. Now, if you know Phil Robertson, you know he's a pretty black and white, pretty direct kind of guy. And imagine what he was like before he was a Christian. And he says, you know, my tendency would have been, before I was a Christ follower, he said, I would have been pulling out my shotgun and putting it in their face. What are you doing stealing my fish? He said, but I'd been reading Romans 12, parallel passage to what Jesus says here, where it says, love your enemies and do good to those that persecute you. He said, I've been reading Romans 12. And he said, I'm pulling up to this boat, and somebody's stealing my livelihood, stealing my fish, and these words that I've been reading in the Bible are haunting my mind. Do good to your enemies. And he said, I'm feeling just convicted by it. What am I going to do with this? And he says, I pull up, and they're shocked, obviously. They've been caught red-handed. And he said, and I say to them, I'm going to pull up this net, and whatever's in this net, I'm going to give to you. And he pulled up the net, and it was full of fish. And he gave those thieves, his enemy, he did good for them. And he gave them the fish. And he said, and those boys never bothered my traps ever again. You see, our tendency would have been, what would your tendency have been? When somebody's doing something to harm you, Jesus says, I'm showing you another way. Don't respond to the darkness with more darkness. Respond to the darkness with light. And practically meet the needs of your enemy. Because you see, then you're changing the narrative. You're changing the world. You're bringing illumination. You're bringing something heavenly to this sin-cursed world. Because you see, the God we serve is a God who didn't give us what we deserve. You and I deserve God's wrath. And God came to this world in the form of Jesus Christ and said, I'm not going to give my enemies, those that have positioned themselves as the enemies of God, I'm not going to give them what they deserve, but instead, I'm going to bless them and give them good, give them grace. What is grace? It is an undeserved blessing. Now, I'm not just going to let them off the hook and give them mercy. I'm going to do one better. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to give them something they don't deserve. You see, our God-created selves, we're made to reflect that and to bring the light of Christ. That's how you share the gospel in the most practical of ways, is by demonstrating the gospel of grace, giving people undeserved blessing. That changes things. It brings the light of God into the darkness of our world. So practically meet their needs. Number one, what can you do? Just practically greet those that are your enemies. Secondly, practically meet their needs. And then thirdly, verse 44, pray. He says, pray for their good. Pray for your enemies. Again, that sounds really simplistic. But I want you to stop and think about what Jesus is suggesting. When you pray, and I'm not just saying, I'm talking about really praying. When you really are praying, you are opening up the in the most honest way what is really inside of your heart. And you're making it vulnerable before God. So he says, all right, how are you, what's inside of you? What is really inside of you when you think of your enemies? In order to pray for your enemy, you have to open your heart up. And if you're praying for them, that means you are seeking the good of your enemy. You are asking God to do good for your enemy. You see, to just say pray for your enemies, we just let that roll off the tongue like that's just, okay, I'm going to say a prayer for my enemy. It is much richer and deeper than that, because when you honestly pray to God for your enemy, you are asking heaven to move in the benefit of, for the good of, somebody who's opposed to you. See, that's a much heavier thing to really do than you might first think. Pray for your enemy. Seek their good. Now, that could involve a lot of things. Not the least of which would be, you may be praying honestly for the good of your enemy, that the direction of their life, that is, they don't realize it, but is ultimately destructive to them, might be diverted. You might pray for your enemy that they might come to a place of true repentance or conversion to Christ. But sometimes it's just saying, God, maybe the reason they are like they are is because they've never really tasted and realized your goodness. So, Father, I'm going to do something that goes against every fiber of my being, because everything in me wants bad stuff to happen to them because of the way they're acting and the way they're treating me. But I'm going to choose a different path. And God, I'm asking that you shower goodness on them. That you flood their life with your goodness. That's a much different approach than what we might tend to do. That's how we can bring light into the darkness. It all boils down to this. Jesus essentially says in these verses, anybody can be nice in a nice world. Anybody can do that. So you're nice when people are nice to you. Big whoopity-doo. I mean, it's good to be nice to nice people. I mean, great. But you've not really made an impact when you do that. Yes, be nice to nice people, but he's calling us to be nice to those that aren't so nice. And to make a big difference by being brighter in a darker world. So I don't know whether it means you gather your kids, your grandkids, and you buy some flowers and take some coloring pages to Walmart. It may look like something completely different. It may look like something just as simple as to make the decision to start making eye contact with people that you meet when you're walking in a hallway. And start, it may hurt at first for some of us to actually smile, but start trying to smile at those that you meet. It may start with a simple greeting. It may start by doing something radically different, by doing good to people that don't deserve it. But whatever you choose to do, I want to challenge you and me this week. You want to make a difference? Let's just quit griping about on social media and to each other and complaining about, oh, did you hear the latest thing that's happened? And just being consumed with the darkness. Let's stop being consumed by the darkness and say, you know what? It is what it is. Let's go be light. Amen. Let's push back this darkness by being people who are different, and let's be brighter in a darker world. And you say, how in the world can I do that? Well, there's another passage in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verses 11 through 12, where Jesus says that when you do good to those that persecute you and you seek their good, that your treasure will be great in heaven. Now, when you first read that, you might think, oh, that's work salvation. If I do good, you know, as much as I don't want to, I'll do good to my enemies because, you know what, in the end, God's going to reward me for it. I don't think that's really what he's saying. I think what he's saying is that if you know your treasure is great in heaven because of what Jesus did for you by his grace, and you know your treasure is great, then your hope, your aspirations, the depths of who you are is based on that. And if your life is based on the treasure that Christ has for you, then that's going to inform and empower you to be able to do otherworldly things in this world. It's going to empower you to be able to love your enemy. Because you may be sitting there this morning and you think, well, this just sounds like a moral sermon. It's like, how am I going to lift myself up by my bootstraps? I don't know how I'm going to love people that are unlovable. I mean, get real. What world are you living in, preacher, that you think I can do that? You can't do that. Not of your own. But when you are empowered by the realization of what God has already done for you, and you are empowered by the fact that, you know what, I was God's enemy, and look what he did for me. And you've let your heart be fueled by that. That is the true catalyst for being able to do something that is completely otherworldly in this world. That's how you can love your enemy, is by treasuring in your heart what God did for you first. How are you going to love? We love people that are unlovable. How? Because Christ loved us first. That's what moves us to be able to do something we ordinarily would not be able to do. So your challenge this week is to find some way to go out in this dark world and be bright for Christ. Maybe by greeting others, maybe by doing good to people that don't deserve it, maybe simply by actively praying the good for others around you that are opposed to you. Go be light this week all around the neighborhood. I'm going to let it shine. This morning, maybe the day star of Jesus Christ has begun to shine in your heart. And you know that he is the true light of the world that can illuminate and bring warmth and growth and empowerment to your life, and you've not surrendered your life to him. If we can help you in your obedience to Jesus in repentance and baptism, or maybe we can pray for you, for your encouragement, won't you come to Christ as we stand and as we sing?